Expecto Patronum!
Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode
12.
And we're keeping that in because I'm not bothering doing that again. We're keeping it in. So, episode 12, it's actually only been a few days since we recorded episode 11, but we're trying to stay on top of things this time and not have a 6 or 7 week break.
Woo! So we're doing really, really well.
Yes.
So
I've been putting off recording because I hate Chamber of Secrets so much.
So I just said our compromise is that we read it quickly and we get through it as fast as possible.
Yeah.
If we can get through like 3 chapters, I'll be so happy. I just want to get to Prisoner of Azkaban. I love Prisoner of Azkaban.
So in okay. Harry Potter news, Pottermore are starting a
reading club. Copycatters.
Reading club. We were doing it first.
Bitch, please. It's like when Kim Kardashian cut her hair short and I literally just cut my hair short like the week before and I was like, trendsetters.
And also we are coming up next week to the official 20th anniversary of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone coming out the 26th of June.
Adam bought me a very lovely present of the special edition hardback Ravenclaw cover for like my graduation present, and it was very, very nice for you, Adam. But our minds are kind of blown because in the back of the book there's loads of facts about like Ravenclaw, like different like notable Ravenclaw like post past pupils or whatever, and there was one for the head of house, Professor Flitwick, and it had a did you know part, and it said did you know that Professor Flitwick and Professor Sprout were in a long-term relationship but ended it, and they're still friends, and my mind is blown.
So then, because I had also bought the Hufflepuff one for my sister for her birthday. She doesn't listen to this, so I can say this.
Yeah.
So we bought the Hufflepuff one as well for my sister for her birthday, and in the back it just confirms it because Professor Sprout is the head of house for Hufflepuff, as we already know.
Yeah.
And it says exactly the same thing, and I was like, oh my god, it's official.
Mind blown. It was actually like, what the fuck? We were so confused.
I was just like, when did it say this in the books? Really?
I know. We need to address this.
J.K. Rowling, you need to address this.
Okay, let's get started so we can get finished quicker because, oh my god, I hate Gilderoy Lockhart. I was reading this chapter and I was like, oh my god, shut up. But I really can't, like, Kenneth Branagh, the perfect Gilderoy Lockhart. Like, he plays him so well. Like, when I hear him go, Harry, 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 I can just... Like, I have Kenneth Branagh's
voice in
my head, and I'm just like, oh my god.
And his actions and everything.
Just like the way he laughs, like the hee, like it's so great. So okay.
Chapter 6 is called Gilderoy Lockhart.
I want to punch him in the face. So, Harry and Ron head down for their first day back at Hogwarts of second year. They're not the babies anymore. I remember when I started second year in school, and you're just like, yeah. We're not the first years anymore.
Second years are cocky little shits.
Oh, it is, because everyone hates first years. But then everyone hates, actually, the secret thing is everyone hates second years more because they're so annoying.
Just because they think they're great.
Yeah. So they head down to the Great Hall. They're having breakfast, and they realise that Hermione, who is reading her copy of Voyages of Vampires, that she, the way she says morning, that like she's still really annoyed at how they flew a car to school. I'm like, Hermione, I'm still pissed off.
You flew a car to school. You flew it.
So the morning post is coming in, and Errol dropped something into Hermione's cereal, and there's a damp red envelope in his beak. Oh no, Ron gasped. And then, it's all right, he's still alive, said Hermione, prodding Errol gently with the tip of her finger. It's not that. It's that. Ron was pointing at the red envelope. It was quite ordinary to Harry, but Ron and Neville were both looking at it as though they expected it to explode. She sent me a howler, said Ron faintly. You better open it, Ron, said Neville in a timid whisper. It'll be worse if you don't. My gran sent me one once, and I ignored it, and it was horrible. So... Ron decides he's got whatever a howler is, he's going to open the envelope. And he does. And so this one, so the contents of this letter is a bit, let's say, missing. There's like words missing here or there because Harry's kind of zoning in or out. So the one from the movie is pretty much the same. So I'm going to do my best Molly Weasley impression. So here we go. Adam, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I have a little water in my mouth.
Ronald Weasley, how dare you steal that car? I am absolutely disgusted. Your father's now facing an inquiry at work, and it's entirely your fault. If you put another toe out of line, we'll be bringing you straight home. Oh, and Jeannie dear, congratulations on making Gryffindor. Your father and I are so proud. Yes! Life made. That's probably going to be so loud on Audacity. I'm going to have to, like, lower, like, just cut that bit and, like, lower it down. Because otherwise, headphone, or IP headphone users. So, a howler is essentially a shouting letter. So, it's not like how it is in the movie where everyone kind of starts laughing. It's just everyone, like, the whole Great Hall is just silent.
It's just like, shit.
And then a few people laughed, but then everyone just started, like, talking again. So, McGonagall comes around with their timetables, and they have double herbology first with the Hufflepuffs. So they head down to the greenhouses, and outside the greenhouses, they saw Professor Sprout with Gilderoy Lockhart. And her arms were full of bandages, and Harry spotted the Whomping Willow in the distance, with several of its branches now in slings.
Aww, so poor Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah, I know. And then Gilderoy Lockhart has been annoying Professor Sprout, to say the least. And
just been showing Professor Sprout the right way to doctor a Whomping Willow. But I don't want you running away with the idea that I'm better at herbology than she is. I just happen to have met several of these exotic plants on my travels.
Yeah.
Greenhouse 3 today, chaps.
Yes. So, and they're all like, oh,
I just love that Professor that Professor Sprout is just like,
fuck this.
Fuck you. Fuck this.
Fuck you. Fuck this.
Hell no.
So, there was a murmur of interest because they've only ever worked in Greenhouse 1 before. Greenhouse 3 had more interesting and dangerous plants. So, they are all heading into the greenhouse when Lockhart's hand shouted, Harry, I've been wanting word. You don't mind if he's a couple of minutes late, do you, Professor Sprout? And Professor Sprout looks like she does mind, but Lockhart's like, anyway, it's fine. And so, Harry, said Lockhart, his large white teeth gleaming in the sunlight as he shook his head. Harry, Harry, Harry. When I heard, well, of course it's all my fault, could have kicked myself. Don't know when I've been more shocked. Flying a car to Hogwarts. Well, of course I knew at once why you'd done it. Stood out a mile. Harry, Harry, Harry. Gave you a taste for publicity, didn't I? Gave you the bug. You got onto the front page of the paper with me and you couldn't wait to do it again. Harry, Harry, Harry. I understand. Natural to want a bit more once you've had that first taste. And I blame myself for giving you that because it was bound to go to your head. But you see here, young man, you can't start flying cars to try and get yourself noticed. Just calm down, all right? Plenty of time for that, when you're older. Anyway, he just keeps going on. And then he mentions... And then he says, I know, like, in fact, I heard... Anyway, I mean, a few people have heard of you, haven't they? All that business with he who must not be named. I know. It's not quite as good as winning Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award 5 times in a row as I have. But it's a start, Harry. It's a start.
And the funniest thing is that Harry Potter is probably more internationally famous.
Yeah. No, just more famous and respected.
Than Gilderoy Lockhart. Than
Gilderoy Lockhart. Oh my god, like, I hate him, he's so, I hate him. Anyway, Adam, you go on, because I just can't.
So, Harry gets released from his grasp, and,
Finally, thank god.
He's worse than Devil's Snare.
Oh my god, yes.
It goes back, so Harry goes into the, greenhouse and Professor Sprout's standing there and she's starting the lesson. So she tells them that they're going to be repotting mandrakes today. So naturally asks a question. Now, who can tell me what the properties of mandrakes is? And of course, Hermione's hand is first in the air and she goes, "Mandrake or mandragora is a powerful restorative," said Hermione. "It is used to return people who have been transfigured or cursed to their original state." Excellent. Can 10 points to Gryffindor.
Can you say foreshadowing?
Just foreshadowing. Just a little smidge of foreshadowing. Just a little... Just a little splash.
Yeah.
It's like when you get a flat white and they put the heart on top. Just a little splash.
Just a little splash. And so...
So basically Hermione's still being a know-it-all, telling us that mandrakes are fatal to anybody who hears them cry. And Professor Sprout was dishing Gryffindor out points, which makes me very happy. Yes?
Okay, I didn't hear any of that because Skype totally stalled. But I'm assuming you recorded it, so I'm just going to go on. I won't get you to repeat it. I was like, that's why if you hear me, just go, Adam. It's because I didn't hear any of it.
So anyway, Professor Sprout tells everybody to take a pair of earmuffs, which they do. And she tells them that even though these are basically baby ones, they can still knock you out for several hours.
Oh my God, which sounds great.
I need that in my life. Like,
I just listen and I'm like, yeah, shift, and have a nice nap.
After a day shift or a night shift, especially a night shift.
Oh my God, yeah. Bam.
Sleep straight through until the next shift. Lovely. Sleep through that pesky fire alarm on Thursday.
Oh my God, yes. So,
which is a necessity after that Grenfell Tower fire, okay?
Yes.
I will not complain about the fire alarm going off. Can't complain about
it. Everyone scrambles so they don't get pink fluffy ones, but I'd be like, hell yeah, hand me the pink fluffy ones. I'll take them.
Stylin'.
So then, instead, so Professor Sprout rolled up her sleeves and grasped one of the tufty plants firmly and pulled hard. Instead of roots, a small, muddy, and extremely ugly baby popped out of the earth. The leaves were growing right out of his head. He had pale green, mottled skin and was clearly bawling at the top of his lungs. So, Professor Sprout took a large plant pot from underneath the table and plunged the mandrake into it, burying him in the damp, dark, damp compost until only tufted leaves were visible. Professor Sprout dusted off her hands and gave them all the thumbs up and removed her own earmuffs. So, essentially, they start to get to work on repotting the mandrakes.
They're four to a tray. And Harry, Ron, and Hermione are joined by a curly-haired Hufflepuff boy Harry knew by sight but never spoken to. Justin Finch-Fletchley. I know who you are, of course. The famous Harry Potter, and you're Hermione Granger. Always top in everything. Hermione beamed as she had her hand shaken too. And Ron Weasley, wasn't that your flying car? Ron didn't smile. The howler was obviously still on his mind. That Lockhart's something, isn't he? Blah, blah, blah. So basically there's a load of...
He's like, my name was down for Eton.
Ha, 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 ha. Ha.
Yeah.
One of those people.
Yes. So essentially, they got on with, essentially it's their first day back at school, they go to Transfiguration. Ron's wand was patched up with Spellotape, which I can only assume is Sellotape. So they have Transfiguration, blah, 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 and then they head to Defense Against the Dark Arts. And then I love this. Why? Demanded Ron, seizing Hermione's timetable. Have you outlined all Lockhart's lessons in little hearts?
Hermione snatched the timetable back, flushing furiously.
Oh, I think that's, that's really cute. She's 13, nearly 13 at this stage. Her birthday's at the end of September. So she's nearly 13. She's obviously noticing boys. And just, there's a celebrity who's apparently very brave. He's done all these things he says he does in the books. And of course Hermione would never question what's written in a book. Because if it's written in a book, it has to be true.
It's gotta be true.
It's gotta be true.
which is probably one of Hermione's biggest flaws, that she just assumes. She doesn't really question things.
But actually, at the same time, towards the end of the book, we do see Hermione questioning what's on paper a little bit more, like with all the propaganda stuff that the Ministry is putting out in the end and everything like that.
Well, yeah, she learns that, she begins to learn throughout the series, but it is still one of her main downfalls that, like, you know, she's like, when there's the whole Half-Blood Prince book, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, so, Harry and Ron were talking about Quidditch for several minutes before Harry became aware that he was being closely watched. Looking up, he saw the very small, mousy-haired boy he'd seen trying on the Sorting Hat last night, staring at Harry as though transfixed. He was clutching what looked like an ordinary Muggle camera, and the moment Harry looked at him, he went bright red. "All right, Harry, I'm Colin Creevy," he said breathlessly, taking a tentative step forward. "I'm in Gryffindor too. Do you think would be all right if... Can I have a picture?" he said, raising the camera hopefully. "A picture," Harry repeated blankly. "So I can prove I've met you. I know all about you. Everyone's told me about how you survived when you know who tried to kill you and how you disappeared and everything and how you still got a lightning scar on your forehead. And a boy in my dormitory said if I develop the film in the right potion, the pictures move. It's brilliant here, isn't it? I never knew all the odd stuff I could do was magic till I got the letter from Hogwarts. My dad's a milkman, and he couldn't believe it either. So I'm taking loads of pictures sent home to him. And it'd be really good if I had one of you. And maybe your friend could take it and I could stand next to you. And then you could sign it."
I just, like, God bless him. Poor Colin, he's just so...
He's sweet.
Just so overcome by, like, oh my God, I'm magic, and there's this, like, whole other side of the, like, world that I didn't even know about, and, like, I need to try to fit in, and there's this really, really famous guy, and he's in my school, and oh my God, and... It's really, really interesting, though, that we don't hear anything about Colin Creevy's mother.
Yeah, because Colin's brother, Dennis... Mm-hmm. eventually is also magic, so, and I apparently it's very rare for two muggle born, like, there to be two muggle borns in a family.
So was Colin Creevy's mum a witch? It's never really been explored.
Well, apparently Dean Thomas is a half blood that his dad, because apparently his dad walked out whenever he came home, but really it's actually a thing that he got, like, attacked by Death Eaters or something, and his wife just never knew that, like, he was a wizard. But anyway, poor Colin says this all right by the worst person ever, Draco Malfoy. "Signed photos? You're giving out signed photos, Potter?" So essentially he's just giving out, like, he's
everyone slagging queue up. Piss. "Harry Potter's giving out signed photos." "No, I'm not." Yeah. "Shut up, Malfoy."
So yeah, so they just have a fight, a fucking school board fucking fight. And then, of course, who comes along? Gilderoy Lockhart in turquoise robes. Turquoise. "Come on then, Mr. Creevy," said Lockhart, being like Colin. "A double portrait. Can't say fairer than that. And we'll both sign it for you." And then he took the picture, and then Lockhart, obviously just thinking that Harry is so, like, fame hungry. "A word to the wise, Harry. I covered up for you back there with young Creevy. If he was photographing me too, your schoolfellows won't think you're setting yourself up so much. Let me say that handing out signed pictures at this stage of your career isn't sensible. Looks a tad big-headed, Harry. To be frank, there may well come a time when, like me, you'll need to keep a stack handy wherever you go, but I don't think you're quite there yet." So yeah. And then I love this, how Ron's just like, "You could have fried an egg on your face." He was obviously just so red and, like, so absolutely scarlet.
No. Wait. "You better hope Creevy doesn't meet Ginny. They'll be starting a Harry Potter fan club."
Aww. And Harry's just like, shut up. So then I love this. They go to the Defense Against the Dark Arts, and then, of course, Lockhart's there. "Me," he said, pointing at the picture
Lockhart
on the front. Gilderoy Lockhart. "You go ahead."
"Gilderoy Lockhart, Order of Merlin, third class. Honorary member of the Dark Force Defence League and 5 times winner of Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award. But I don't talk about that. I didn't get rid of the Bandon Banshee by smiling at her."
I see you've all bought
a complete set of my books. Well done. I thought we'd start today with a little quiz. Nothing to worry about, just to check how well you've read them, how much you've taken in. You have 30 minutes. Start now." Harry looked down at his paper and read, What is Gilderoy Lockhart's favourite colour?
What I don't care.
Is Gilderoy Lockhart's secret ambition?
I don't care.
What, in your opinion, is Gilderoy Lockhart's greatest achievement to date? Sweet fuck all.
I don't care.
And on it went. Question 54 was, when is Gilderoy Lockhart's birthday and what would his ideal gift be?
A life.
Probably a fucking blow up doll of himself.
Yes, oh my god. Anyway.
Oh my god, I can't believe I just said that.
I know. Anyway. And then so he goes and he corrects them all and then he says, tut tut, hardly any of you remember that my favourite colour is lilac. I say so in A Year with a Yeti. And a few of you need to read Wanderings of Werewolves more carefully. I clearly state in chapter 12 that my ideal birthday gift would be harmony between all magic and non-magic peoples, though I wouldn't say no to a large bottle of Ogden's Old Fire Whiskey. But Miss Hermione Granger knew my secret ambition is to rid the world of evil and market my own range of hair care potions. Good girl, in fact, full marks. Where is Miss Hermione Granger? Excellent, beamed Lockhart, quite excellent. Take 10 points for Gryffindor. So, like, I just...
Gryffindor is just racking up the points. I'm loving it.
Yes. Anyway.
Come home. So,
he's going to show them a creature that is, it's fearful. He goes, I must ask you not to scream. It might provoke them.
It might. Yes. Provoke them!
Yes, I remember. I love that from the second movie. I love Kenneth Branagh as Gilderoy. Yes, he said. Freshly caught Cornish pixies. Seamus Finnegan couldn't control himself. He let out a snort of laughter, which even Lockhart couldn't mistake for a scream of terror. Yes, he smiled at Seamus. Well, they're not very dangerous, are they? So anyway, he lets them go, and of course it is pandemonium. They're everywhere, and he goes, pesky, pesky, pester, know me. And nothing works. So then Lockhart just kind of, everyone had ran out, apart from, of course, Harry, Ron and Hermione. And he said, well, I'll just ask you three just to nip the rest of them back into their cage.
And Neville as well, who's, like, caught up in the candelabra. Yes. Which then gives way.
Is that in this, or is that in the movie?
No, that's in this as well.
Oh, okay. So then, can you believe him, said Ron. And, of course, Hermione starts immobilising them with freezing charms. Immobilis! And then, because they put them all back. So then we move on to chapter 7. Mudbloods and Murmurs. So Harry spent a lot of his time dodging Gilderoy Lockhart. Understandably, I think I would do the exact same. Because, oh my god, I want to just throw this book out of my window just to avoid Gilderoy Lockhart myself. Adam, I hate him so much. And we've still got how many more pages? We're on page 82. How many pages? Adam, we've nearly got 200 pages left with Gilderoy Lockhart still here. I don't know how I'm going to cope.
It's okay, it's okay. He'll lose his memory soon. It'll be fine.
No, that's not until, like, the last two chapters. I think he's worse when he loses his fucking memory. Oh my god. So anyway,
basically
you
we learn.
Go on, because I need a moment.
Again, another moment. So basically, Harry keeps bumping into Colin Creevy, who is basically fangirling all over him constantly.
Harry!
Oh my god, Harry. Harry.
Yeah.
So, so then we learn that there's Quidditch practice at ungodly hours in the morning, yeah. And that Gryffindor are the first team to start all the Quidditch practicing, but then... Yeah. What am I saying? Then. Yeah, so then Quidditch practice. Colin doesn't know really what Quidditch is, so Harry kind of updates him, which also updates us to what Quidditch is if you haven't read the first book. Which you should have done. Why are you here?
Go listen back to our and read through with our first playlist. It's in a playlist on SoundCloud called The Philosopher's Stone. Read it. Anyway.
Quidditch practice. And then we see that Colin is watching them on the field, and Oliver Wood thinks that he's a Slytherin spy. Trying to find out about their new training program. And then Harry's like, he's in Gryffindor. He's just a bit strange.
Yeah.
So just...
And, yeah. And then George says, and the Slytherins don't need a spy, Oliver, because they're here in person. So several people in green robes were walking onto the pitch, broomsticks in their hands. And then Wood is just like, of course, but like everything to do with Quidditch, he's just like, the fuck? He's just like,
this is our practice time.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. So, Flint, this is our practice time. We got up especially.
Practice time.
Stop, you can't do a Scottish accent. Don't embarrass yourself. So, we got up specially. You can clear off now. Marcus Flint was even larger than Wood. He had a look of trollish cunning on his face. Right? Plenty of room for all of us, Wood. Trollish cunning. What are you laughing at? Your mouth is full of water. Swallow and swallow. What were you laughing at?
Just, Marcus Flint was even larger than Wood.
Ha ha ha. But I booked the pitch. I booked it. Ah, but I've got a specially signed note here from Professor Snape. I, Professor Snape, give the Slytherin team permission to practice today on the Quidditch pitch, owing to the need to train their new seeker. You've got a new seeker? Where? And then from behind the six large figures before them came a seventh smaller boy, smirking all over his pale, pointed face. It was Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy. Aren't you Lucius Malfoy's son? Said Fred, looking at Malfoy. Funny you should mention Draco's father, said Flint, as the whole Slytherin team smiled still more broadly. Let me show you this generous gift he made to the Slytherin team. Gift, my arse. If anybody's wondering what that big bang was on the recording, it was just my water bottle expanding.
Yeah. Lol.
So basically find out that they have the very latest model of a Nimbus 2001. And that Hermione then obviously famously says, at least no one on the Gryffindor team had to buy their way in. They got in on pure talent.
The smug look on Malfoy's face flickered. No one asked your opinion, you filthy little mudblood. Harry knew Harry knew it once that Malfoy had said something really bad because there was an instant uproar at his words. Flint had to dive in front of Malfoy to stop Fred and George jumping on him. Alicia shrieked, how dare you? And Ron plunged his hand into his robe, pulling out his wand, yelling, you'll pay for that one, Malfoy, and pointed a fiercely under Flint's arm at Malfoy's face. A large bang echoed around the stadium, and a jet of green light shot out the wrong end of Ron's wand, hitting him in the stomach and sending him reeling backwards onto the grass. Ron, are you all right? Ron opened his mouth to speak, but no words came out. Instead, he gave an almighty belch and several slugs dribbled out of his mouth onto his lap. So, Harry and
Excuse
Hermione
me, I think I need to
run him
sick.
To Hagrid's. It's actually disgusting in the movie.
It is. So disgusting. It just makes me want to throw up.
So, and I love how that, this is actually pretty much verbatim what happens. Like, Colin's like, can I take a picture? And he's like, get out of the way, Colin.
Can you hold him still, Harry?
So, they get him to Hagrid and... Oh, Lockhart's there. Oh my god. I forgot about that. So they hide, and then when Lockhart's out of sight, they pull Ron out of the bush and up to Harry's front door. And then they literally just put the large copper basin in front of him and, like, get it all up. So, blah, 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 blah.
Basically, they're talking about a really bad word.
So tell me, who was he trying to curse? Malfoy called Hermione something. It must have been really bad because everyone went mad. It was bad. Malfoy called her Mudblood Hagrid. Ron dived out of sight again as a fresh wave of slugs made their appearance. Hagrid looked outraged. He didn't. He did, she said, but I don't know what it means. I could tell it was really rude, of course. It's about the most insulting thing he could think of, gasped Ron, coming back up. Mudblood's a really foul name for someone who is muggle-born. You know, non-magic parents. There are some wizard, like Malfoy's family, who think they're better than everyone else because they're what people call pure blood. He threw up into the basin and continued. I mean, the rest of us know it doesn't make any difference at all. Look at Neville Longbottom. He's pure blood, and he can hardly stand a cauldron up the right way. And then I love this. And they haven't invented a spell our Hermione can't do. Anyway, they just say, like, it's a disgusting thing to call someone dirty blood, see? Common blood. It's mad. Most wizards these days are half-blood anyway. If we hadn't married muggles, we'd have died out. Anyway, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
blah blah blah. There's massive pumpkins. They're for the Halloween feast. And then we learn that Ginny has been down to Hagrid. He just met her yesterday. She said she was just looking around the grounds, but I reckon she was hoping she might run into someone else at my house. If you ask me, she wouldn't say no to a signed photograph. Oh, shut up, said Harry. And then Ron snorted with laughter and the ground was sprayed with slugs. So it was nearly lunchtime and they head back up. And they barely set foot in the cool entrance hall when a voice rang out. There you are, Potter Weasley. You'll both be doing your detentions this evening. What are we doing, Professor? You will be polishing the silver in the trophy room with Mr. Filch. And no magic, Weasley. Elbow grease. And you, Potter, will be helping Professor Lockhart answer his fan mail. Oh no, can't I go into the trophy room too, said Harry desperately. Certainly not, said Professor McGonagall, raising her eyebrows. Professor Lockhart requests you particularly. 8 o'clock sharp, both of you. So, of course, Harry's going to have to help answer Lockhart's fan mail. Adam, why don't you finish off the chapter?
So, basically, Ron is like, oh my god, Filch will have me there all night. No magic. Oh my god. Horror. Muggle cleaning.
The horror.
And Harry's like, I'd swap any time. I've had loads of practice with the Dursleys. Answering Lockhart's fan mail, he'll be a nightmare. So then Harry goes up to Lockhart's second floor corridor to Lockhart's office. He gritted his teeth and knocked. The door flew open at once. Lockhart beamed down at him. Ah, here's the scallywag. Come in, Harry. Come in. So basically, he wants them to address letters. The first one's to Gladys Gudgeon. Bless her. Huge fan of mine. The minutes snailed by. So basically, it's been really, really shit. And then next thing, Harry starts hearing a voice. It was a voice to chill the bone marrow, a voice of breathtaking ice cold venom. Come to me. Let me rip you. Let me tear you. Let me kill you. Harry gave a huge jump and a large lilac blot appeared on Veronica Sneedley's street. What? He said loudly. I know, six solid months at the top of the bestsellers list. Broken all records. No, that voice. Sorry? What voice? That voice that said, didn't you hear it? Lockhart was looking at Harry in high astonishment. What are you talking about, Harry? Perhaps you're getting a little drowsy. Great Scott, look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. I'd never have believed it. The time's flown, hasn't it? Harry didn't answer. He was straining his ears to hear the voice again, but there was no sound now except for Lockhart telling him he mustn't expect a treat like this every time he got detention. Feeling dazed, Harry left. It was so late that the Gryffindor common room was almost empty. Harry went straight up to the dormitory. Ron wasn't back yet. Harry pulled on his pyjamas, so basically, yeah, Ron comes back and they're all like, I'm so sore. 14 times he made me buff up that Quidditch cup before he was satisfied. Then I had another slug attack all over a special award for services to the school. Took ages to shift the slime. How was it with Lockhart? So basically he tells them about the voice he could hear. And Lockhart said he couldn't hear it. Do you think he was lying? But I don't get it. Even if someone's invisible, would have had to have opened the door. I know, said Harry, lying back in his four-poster and staring at the canopy above him. I don't get it either. End of chapter.
And end of episode for today. So, Adam, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate Gilderoy Lockhart?
I'm going to give him a solid 8 at the minute. Just because I think because he's just so annoying that I just laugh at him more so than, so he doesn't really annoy me, he just makes me laugh because he annoys me.
No, see, I don't find him funny in the slightest. Like, literally, I find Kenneth Branagh's interpretation of him very funny. But reading it, like, I think in the movie we just got the perfect amount of Lockhart.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, I remember that it does peter off a bit. Like, it's just because it's the first, like, chapter. And, like, there was literally a chapter called Gilderoy Lockhart and blah, 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 blah. So I know it does peter out a little bit. But, oh, my word. I hate him so much. So much. He literally ruins this book for me. That and the Death Day Party, which is why, like, that's a big chapter, which is why we're not going to do, even though this is a short episode, we're not going to do the next one, because that's a big-ass chapter.
I quite like it.
So, Adam, where can they find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on the interweb, on Instagram, and on Twitter, at the Miller Ad.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura Killabean, K-I-L-L-A-B-E-A-N. And then you can find us at Expecto Podcastum on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes and Facebook and Instagram. And you can find us at Expecto Podcastum without the last U in Podcastum, because Twitter won't allow us to have extra characters.
Twitter's a silly.
I can't believe I'm going to have to continue to say that at the end of every episode.
It's like and our thing. It's like our sign-off.
And then you can also email us with any theories or anything like that at expectopodcastum@gmail.com. Please rate and review us and subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe and like and comment on SoundCloud. And I think that's it. I think I've done everything.
Yeah, and guys, if you're in the UK or Ireland at the minute, it's a heat wave. Make sure you drink lots of water, wear lots of sun cream, because right now I'm in my room and it's ridiculously hot. I'm dying. Laura can see me profusely sweating through Skype.
I'm profusely... My hair is up in a ponytail for the first time ever. I'm dying. Literally dying. Okay, everyone. Also, with everything that's going on, obviously, we haven't... We actually forgot to mention it in our last week's episode because it's actually been so long. But of course, we like express our condolences to everyone who's been affected by the recent series of terror attacks in the UK. Of course, Adam and I, we talked about it before, we were there for the terror attack in March. Then, of course, there was the terror attack at the Ariana Grande concert, and then the recent terror attacks at London Bridge, Borough Market, and then, of course, yesterday, for us, it was yesterday, but Finsbury Park. We express our condolences, and we just hope that you guys, you know, remember that it's not even in the books, I think, but the Albus Dumbledore quote where you can find light even in the darkness of times, even if you just remember to switch on the light. So stay safe, everyone. Try and keep your spirits up, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
And we will see you next week.
We will. We will. We will. We're making our aim.
Bye.